Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, we now want to turn to the legal case against Johar Tsarnaev. He faces federal charges of use of a weapon of mass destruction and malicious destruction of property resulting in death. If convicted, he could face the death penalty on those federal charges. But what happens now? As we said, several news outlets reporting that he has said that he played a role in the bombing, that he and his brother operated alone. Is that the same as an admission of guilt? Will there be a jury trial? How do you pick a jury when everyone just watched 5 days of video? Harvard Law professor and noted defense attorney Alan Dershowitz is with us from New York. Alan, thanks. We want to spend a few minutes with you today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
And you've been saying open-shut case. How so?
Well, open-shut on the facts. They didn't indict him as a terrorist, which would require intent to intimidate or terrorize. They indicted him for a crime that anybody would commit. If you don't like your mother-in-law or your business partner and you make a pressure cooker bomb and kill them, that's what he's been indicted for. You don't require any kind of intention to terrorize. And that's why, of course, he could never be called an enemy combatant or anything like that based on the evidence in the case. The video evidence seems pretty conclusive. You don't need any intention beyond the intent to plant the bombs. And when a jury sees this young man putting a knapsack down next to young children who will soon be injured or dead, that will be a pretty easy case to establish. And I think there are only two kinds of defenses possible in this case. One, a kind of jihadist defense in which he says, I did it, I'm proud of it, I want to go to paradise, please kill me. That doesn't seem to be what's emerging from the questioning. The other is, my brother really made me do it. He had a lot of influence on me. Please excuse me, I'm 19 years old. Don't sentence me to death. I'll cooperate. I'll tell you what I know. That seems to be the course that's being followed. There will be a jury trial, but it probably won't be in Boston. It may very well be in Springfield. But the defense has to make that decision. They may decide that they have a better jury pool in Boston, less likely to impose the death penalty than in Springfield. So these are going to be the hard, tactical choices that confront a criminal lawyer who was appointed in the case.
Okay. Well, you said a lot of things here. First of all, something that's very repugnant to people, that there might be, either would be repugnant, that there might be a claim for wanting to stage a jihadist's defense and, a show place for that. On the other hand, you also said there might be a plea deal. The younger brother who, and again, full disclosure, I and other people know him. He was known to be a more regular kid in school, and he might say that, oh, my brother pulled me into this. Both would be repugnant to people. How successful would that plea deal, plea request be?
Well, it depends on whether he has information about his brother's trip to Russia, whether he met with Chechenians, whether he can tell them what websites they follow, if they became kind of homegrown, self-determined terrorists, who they listen to. Anything like that might be tradable for life. Now, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure to impose the death penalty in this case. This, once they show that videotape again, there's going to be a tremendous pressure to say if anybody ever deserves the death penalty, it's this guy. So
it doesn't matter if your brother talked you into it. Doesn't matter.
Oh, that's certainly not a defense. Whether it's a mitigation or not will be up to the jury. Remember, though, this is either Boston or Springfield, and all you need is one juror to hold out against the death penalty, and Massachusetts has abolished the death penalty, you might very well get that juror.
Well, explain that. These are federal charges. Federal government has the death penalty, so even if the trial is held in Massachusetts,
you can get the death penalty. Now, there are going to be two sets of charges. There are going to be state charges as well, ordinary murder charges, first-degree murder charges, based on the killing of the MIT policeman, which was an assassination, and certainly if anything ever deserves the death penalty, that does. And second, the attempted killing of the transit authority policeman. So, you know, this man faces life, several life sentences in Massachusetts alone, but federal charges do carry the death penalty. Even though Massachusetts doesn't have the death penalty, Chief Judge Wolf ruled a couple of years ago in a case in Massachusetts that if there's federal jurisdiction, you can impose the death penalty, and he did impose the death penalty in that case.
Yeah. And Alan, you said also, as we know yesterday, we reported yesterday, the White House said that he would, Johar Tsarnaev would not be tried as an enemy combatant.
Right.
And you said, you explained that that means that they don't have, the prosecutors don't have to prove that this was terrorism. You can simply say this was terror. It was murder and, you know, whatever else the charges might be. I'm gathering that that might be a far easier prosecution than having to prove that somebody was connected to another group and was a terrorist.
That's right. Not only that, but it also denies him the ability to put on a jihadist defense. If he's not being charged with a terrorist crime, then his principles, his ideology, become irrelevant in the trial. All the prosecution has to prove is that he knew he was planting a weapon of mass destruction, which is defined as really anything capable of killing many people other than a firearm, and that somebody died. That's a three-day case. All you do is put on the videotape, you put on an expert in explosives, and you put on a confession made to the person who was hijacked. And that's the end of the case. It's a very short three-day trial.
Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz. Alan, please stay right there in New York where you're taking some time to talk to us. We appreciate it. We still have questions, and we'll take them up in just 1 minute. Listeners, if you have questions as well, send them to us at hereandnow.org. More with Alan Dershowitz on how the case against the Boston Marathon bomb suspect might proceed here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation with Harvard Law Professor and noted defense lawyer Alan Dershowitz. We're talking about what the case might be against Johar Tsarnaev, charged with using a weapon of mass destruction and causing three deaths at the finish line of the Boston Marathon last week. As Alan just told us, there will more than likely be state charges coming in the assassination, really, of MIT police officer Sean Collier, who was had his funeral was held today. Adding to the toll today, the number of injured has gone up sharply from around 170 to over 280 as people report what they thought were minor injuries like hearing loss, but injuries that are not going away. Alan Dershowitz, back to the case against Johar Tsarnaev. You said it could be very open shut. What if he pleads guilty? No trial?
If he pleads guilty, there still is a trial on the issue of the death penalty. The interesting thing about that trial is evidence that he participated in the killing of the MIT policeman can come in, even though it's a state crime, for sentencing purposes.
Meaning that, why would you need it? In other words, they would lump both trials together?
Not both trials. If the jury has to decide, should we give him life or death, they can also consider the fact that they assassinated a policeman. That will be a factor in deciding whether he deserves to die or live.
Will there be other charges that you can foresee, or would they not be necessary? All the guns and ammunition that were found in the shootout, will there be other charges piled on?
If possible. I think it would be a mistake to do that. I think the simpler the case, the easier for the jury to comprehend, the shorter the trial, the more it's like a murder case rather than an ideological case, the more likely you'll get a conviction and a death penalty.
Yeah. Will there be other civil charges afterwards? His family doesn't have money, but what might happen after any kind of trial on the charges of the bombings and the shooting and the assassination of the police officer?
You might get a civil trial because someday some publisher might offer this kid money to write a book. And in advance, and the family will want to get their hands on any funds that he could possibly get. But I don't think a civil trial would produce very much in terms of actual monetary compensation.
Yeah. Anything else you'd want us to know about this case? People are asking about his Miranda rights. Is that yesterday's news, or is that important that he wasn't read his rights? And we don't know these statements that are coming out today from officials that he's said that he carried this out with his brother. We don't know if that came before or after the Miranda rights. What questions are there for you?
I think you put it very well. I think it is yesterday's news. He already has his Miranda rights, so anything he says now can be used against him. I think the government was wrong in seeking to expand the public safety exception beyond the ticking bomb imminent situation, but no harm, no foul. They're probably not going to use any of those statements at trial because they have enough without them, and why risk the possibility that evidence could be admitted at trial and then you get a reversal on appeal? So if I'm the prosecution, I stay as far away from those statements as possible. I use them as intelligence gathering material, but not as evidence in a criminal trial.
Alan Dershowitz, can you compare this to anything?
Yeah, I can. I can compare it to something that we've long forgotten, the Weatherman cases. The cases where rich young women and men prepared weapons of mass destruction, bombs that had anti-personnel weapons in them. They intended to blow up an officers' club at Fort Dix. They intended to blow up a library at Columbia University. Now one of them is teaching at Columbia University. Others are honored guests in Chicago, friends of the president. And we have a double standard here. We have treated our own terrorists, our weather people. Robert Redford is about to make a movie glorifying the weathermen. The weathermen are 10 times worse, if anything could ever be worse, than these two marathon bombers. They were well-educated, they were born in America, they were wealthy, and they were making the same kinds of bombs designed to kill as many people as humanly possible. They killed policemen in cold blood, and some of them, many of them are now free. And they're honored citizens, having been fully, quote, rehabilitated, and the subject of a glorified movie by Robert Redford. For shame.
Okay, well, Alan, let me make a stab at this. You know, the playing devil's advocate here, that people would say, bringing up what I'm sure you've already heard, that these were Americans who felt that they were saving lives in another country, which was Vietnam.
No. That they were killing ordinary American citizens. They were planning to kill as many civilians as humanly possible, including students. And in fact, they did kill some people. They killed policemen. That's not the way to save lives in foreign countries. I'm sure that jihadists have the same belief that they're doing the right thing. We cannot have a double standard when it comes to terrorism. We cannot say there's some good terrorism and some bad terrorism, particularly when the terrorism is directed at civilians using anti-personnel bombs. I think it's an absolute disgrace that we honor. It's one thing to let them out of jail after 30 or 40 years. That I understand. But to glorify them and honor them and to suggest in any way that what they did is justified is to simply send a message to our real enemies now that it's okay if you believe strongly enough in what you're doing. So I can't see a distinction.
Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz on the case against Jihar Saniyev, the surviving suspect in the Boston Marathon case. Alan, always stimulating. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, and just a quick note here. As the investigation proceeds, Boston continues to mourn. There was a private funeral mass today for one of the victims, 8-year-old Martin Richard. He was, of course, killed in the bombing. His 7-year-old sister lost a leg. His mother severely injured. As we said, there was a private service there. Also private service today for MIT police officer Sean Collier. And lawyers for Catherine Saniyev, the wife of the suspect who died, says she's doing everything she can to assist authorities. We'll continue to follow this story for you and take a quick break for the latest news here and now.